This podcast is brought to you by Civic Tech Innovation Network in partnership with Voice of Vets.
Welcome back to Civic Tech in Africa podcast. My name is Natim Kekwe and I'm so happy to have you here again. So today we're doing a little crossover. We are hosting this episode in partnership with the Bethel Center for Social Innovation and Entrepreneurship, who are a session partner at the Civic Tech Innovation Forum happening between the 13th and the 17th of September. As you might have heard in the last episode, I will not be hosting these episodes alone. Jason Bygate is today's co-host, and I'm so excited to have him here with us. Jason Bygate is the co-host of the Talking Tech for Good podcast, powered by the Bethel Center, and he's also the head of innovation, tech, and data for development at Capacitate Social Solutions. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Nati. Good to be here.
Nice to have you as a co-host for this second episode of the second season. Now, for today's episode, we're talking accountability and transparency the DIY way, but more specifically about how youth can get a voice in the corridors of power. In today's episode, we are looking at how a Zimbabwean initiative, Open Pali Zimbabwe, is taking it upon itself to hold the government accountable and how the initiative is using social media to foster engagement between the youth and the government. Munyaradzi Dodo, who is the project officer at Magamba Network and is joining us today. Munyaradzi is responsible for the Be the Media project, an initiative that trains young citizen journalists on how to use new media to express themselves. We're so happy to have them here. I'm so delighted to have this conversation, especially at a time when young Africans are disenfranchised in so many ways. So let's get started. But right before we start the conversation with Munyaradzi, Jason, could you give us a little background into the work that you do at Capacitate and the collaboration with the Bethel Center on the Talking Tech for Good initiative?
Thanks, Nati. I'd be happy to. I work for Capacitate Social Solutions, and really we're a social enterprise that supports civil society and social investors to be more efficient and effective in delivering social impact. And largely we focus on technology, data solutions, and strategic advisory. And this work that we do has brought us into contact with the team at the Bertha Center, and that we work quite closely in the same area. And through a range of conversations around the importance of effectively using technology to change the conditions for young people on the ground, we developed this concept for Talking Tech for Good. And really the objective of our podcast is to help organizations across civil society to better use technology to achieve their social objectives and improve the outcomes that can be delivered, specifically for young people, but I think more broadly across civil society as a whole. So that was really the seed for the podcast that we now produce. We have an episode that is produced pretty much every month with various guests and various subjects that we delve into.
Right, right. The other co-host on the Talking Tech for Good podcast is Nuvu Maseko. We spoke to him earlier via voice note about the Bethel Center. Hi, Nuvu. Could you tell us a bit about the Bethel Center and the work being done by your organization?
Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to tell you a little bit more about ourselves. So we are the Bethel Center for Social Innovation and Entrepreneurship. We are a specialized unit operating out of the UCT Graduate School of Business. And we are a social impact center dedicated to advancing social justice across the continent. And we work across four key areas. We have five portfolios, but the fifth one you could think of as a cross-cutting theme that underpins all our work. And those areas are healthcare, finance, education, and the team that I lead and work amongst is the youth development portfolio. And across all of those portfolios, our work is somewhat similar in that we work to educate, we work to catalyze, convene, and conduct research into innovative work happening across the space. Within the youth development portfolio, our whole mission is to get young people to advance to either further education and or employment. And we do that with sort of two key audiences in mind. One is to youth themselves. So we have projects that directly relate with youth. We are a somewhat new portfolio. So our work, particularly that relates to direct engagement with young people, is situated in the Western Cape, in the community of Philippi specifically. But we love opportunities and are always exploring opportunities to expand that work. So please do check out our website. I'm just doing a little bit of plug here. Our comms guy is listening onto this, and I know he'd get upset with me if I didn't plug our work. And the other piece of that is to youth development organizations themselves. So this Talking Tech for Good podcast series speaks to that need as well. And my partner in crime, Jason, can speak to you a little bit more about that. But what were the key behind that was just, how do we look to assist NGOs with some of those operating within the social impact space with a focus on youth development to improve their online offerings and to deal with some of the issues that they're experiencing right now, especially those that have been exacerbated by COVID?
Thank you for that brief intro. Could you tell us a little bit about where people can listen to the Talking Tech for Good podcast?
Right, great. So you can find us on Spotify, or rather you can find the podcast on Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, or Iona FM. That's Iona FM, Spotify, Google Podcast, or Apple Podcast. You can also visit the talkingtech.org.za website. You can also just Google Talking Tech for Good and our website will pop up. You can visit the Bertha Center website. There's numerous ways to get a hold of us, and we're always hungry and excited for opportunities. You could even send a direct message on Twitter to the Bertha Center Twitter account and it'll come straight to us. Thanks again for giving us this opportunity, and we're really looking forward to taking the conversation forward.
Thank you, Luvuyo. As I mentioned before, the Bertha Center is partnering with the Civic Tech Innovation Network for one of the sessions at the CTIF, and Munyaradzi will be one of our speakers there. Hi, Munyaradzi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Fantastic. Before we get into it, let's get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got interested in using technology for accountability and youth engagement.
I actually got into tech by accident. I think a few years ago, one of my friends was working for a mobile network operator and they were rolling out 3G in Zimbabwe. And he just took my phone, added me to one of the testing platform where I got free internet for almost a year. And that's how really I got interested. I started out blogging. My nickname is Munya Blogo in Zim. So that's how I started figuring out how to work on blogs, and literally just going on YouTube, figuring stuff out, setting up websites, downloading WordPress. I'm a super WordPress fanatic and geek, and we also run a WordPress community in Zim. So that's how I got involved, and everything I've learned so far was mainly through YouTube tutorials and YouTube videos. And then I joined Magamba and I've been learning on the go and on the fly and trying to figure out things as we go. Where we don't have a particular solution or where we don't have funding for something, we just try to figure out on our own or create an event, do a hackathon and try to create solutions for ourselves.
Munya, I think that's really fantastic in that it really illustrates the importance of having access to the internet and access to a range of tools. And I think for me of particular interest is the way that we can start to bridge the digital divide and the value that it can bring to young people in particular.
Right, right. And you mentioned the Magamba there, Munya. Tell me a little bit about the work that Magamba Network does.
So Magamba is a youth organization in Zim. It's been around for over 13 years. Oh, well, we started out as an arts organization, supporting artists, supporting musicians, doing creative forms of activism. But, you know, as the internet progressed, as young people got involved with the internet and millennials started driving the adoption, we found ourselves doing more social media work. You know, Zim is very closed off, and you know, the media space in Zim is very closed and it's controlled by the state. So social media became the outlet for most of our projects, which were critical of the government or satirizing the government. But then with that, there was also a need to build infrastructure. There was need to build websites. There was a need to get involved in elections. And we found ourselves gradually becoming more tech oriented. So where we needed a solution, we ended up having to come up with a way to innovate around it. For example, like in the last elections, we wanted a way to enable citizens to get what we call V11 forms, which are like the residue, the results from a particular polling station. And we wanted the citizens to come and send those to us. And so initially we just used WhatsApp, and then we figured WhatsApp wasn't very user-friendly for us. So we ended up having to build a platform, do a hackathon, and try to figure out how that would look like. So by accident, we ended up
are having to go the civic tech route.
Right.
And that's where we are right now. Yeah.
And you know, in preparation for this interview, I was reading an article about how the Makama Network is giving young Zimbabweans a voice in the corridors of power, right? Just yeah. Please, can you tell us about the significance of working with young people in that capacity and just how much of a difference that makes in the bigger scheme of things?
That's probably one of our biggest goals. And I think in Zimbabwe, the political landscape, we don't have what normal countries have, like a parliament TV. So we saw that as a gap in terms of like engagement. When you're trying to get young people to engage in, to sign up, to register for elections, you know, or to get involved in a particular conversation, and then they're alienated from the process and they don't know what happens in parliament, it becomes very difficult. So we in 2008 and 2018, there were elections and young people didn't participate very well. So we were wondering why that was. And then we had a focus group discussion with a bunch of young people. And essentially they just said, you know what, this governance stuff and political stuff is very, very boring. We prefer our information in bite-sized chunks. We prefer it on the go. And we prefer it in the means and mediums that we are used to, which is Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And if we want it, and the language that is used in Parliament is also very, very boring for someone who's 15 years old. So we don't understand this jargon. So we came up with this concept, essentially started off as a Twitter handle. So we would send a journalist into Parliament with just a phone and they would go and tweet everything that was happening in Parliament. They would attend the portfolio sessions. And over time, the handle grew into this big, big popular handle that allows young people to access what's happening in these secret corridors of power in real time and to engage with parliamentarians. And so when Facebook launched a Facebook live stream, we added that to the tools as well. So we started doing Facebook live streams. And that also gave young people access to these corridors of power and a front row seat into Parliament without having to, you know, tune into TV but they could just access Parliament on the go.
Yeah, I was saying that's amazing. I think it's fantastic the way that you've been able to use those contemporary channels to provide better access to the information and visibility of what's going on.
Yeah, so it started off as just a simple tool to use to get young people to participate. And then over time, we had to build our own tools. Our first hackathon was sponsored by Facebook. So they had a Africa-wide hackathon that we're doing. Then they came and sponsored one of the hackathons in Zim and we hosted that. And then we got addicted to building things on our own and building solutions.
Love to hear about solution addiction. And I think just to follow on to that, I mean, what would you say is the biggest impact that Open Poly Zimbabwe has had since its inception?
I think one of our proud moments was when the Speaker of Parliament was chastising the MPs for not coming to Parliament well-read. And he said, you know, you can get this information online on Open Poly. You can download all the bills. And he wasn't even referring the MPs to the Parliament website. It was like, you know, and even if you don't come to the previous session, you can watch the videos on their channels and stuff. And so we thought for us that was like a huge endorsement. And I think also every time we go into Parliament, going into like the portfolio committee sessions, that's where the actual work of Parliament is. And so giving people the front row seat to that, I think a few years ago, we had the finance and public accounts session where a lot of corruption was unearthed and a lot of details came out and a lot of journalists ended up using our information, you know, to do deeper investigative stories. And it just blew up the level of corruption that was within certain government institutions. And I think for us, that was a huge deal because we were front row and center in being able to make sure that that happens and people got unfiltered access to that information.
Right. And I mean, I don't know if I'm correct, but I've seen the Open Poly initiative. So it's this one that we're talking about here is Open Poly Zimbabwe, but there are other Open Polys out there. Am I right, Munya?
Yes. So we initially started off in Zim, and then one of our partners, after Somalia had one of its elections, our partners thought that it could be very interesting to have an Open Poly Somalia. So we went to Somalia and
The Somali version has a different name because Somalia doesn't, they don't use English, so it's called Kalfadi. So that's the Somali version. And then Zambia, our northern neighbors, they were interested in a similar initiative. So we partnered with bloggers of Zambia, and then they adopted. We kind of franchised the model, so to speak. Mm. So we package it. We tell them how the format works, what works well in Zim, the branding. We do a simple WordPress website for them. And then we go in there and train them on how to do parliament reporting and how to build tools if and when necessary. Right. And then they localize it for themselves.
How's been that experience? I mean, of organizing that and just like, you know, making it bigger than what it is? Because, I mean, operating in one country is its own challenge, but operating in multiple countries, I'm sure there are different challenges associated with that.
Yeah, yes, there are different challenges, but there's also incredible opportunities. And I think for one, the challenge is Africa is obviously, you know, we're divided with different languages, different political levels that are happening from country to country. But at the same time, what I've realized is that a young person in Somalia and a young person in Zambia and a young person in Zim, there's very little that differentiates them apart from like maybe the language. But otherwise, they're experiencing exactly the same things in different degrees. Disillusionment with their leadership, unemployment. But, you know, the physical locations are what are the difference makers. But otherwise, I feel at home in Zambia as I do when I go to Somalia or as I do when I'm in SA. And I think at the core, we're all experiencing the same thing.
And I think you raised an important point in terms of the similar experience that young people are having and the similar challenges that they're having, both in terms of playing a role in informing the decisions that affect them, but also in getting access to the things that they need. What would you say some of those common barriers are for young people to access the things that they need and to be able to use what technology can provide?
You know, access to internet, like that is bad to me. If internet could be made cheaper, more accessible, I think that would create more opportunities for young people to participate. And I think the cost of data across the continent is very high, and it's an inhibiting factor. And then you have ISPs who are, you know, creating these walled gardens around certain apps. So you have WhatsApp bundles and Facebook bundles, trying to milk that level of access and limited access. But I think if more can be done to make internet more accessible in remote areas, in rural areas, and build more community networks, maybe that would drive down the cost of internet. Because I do think the monopoly that the ISP have is also an inhibitive factor. But I think the cost can really go down if we have more community networks that are shared and that are run by communities instead of by big corporates that are more focused on.
Amen to that. So it's definitely one of my my contentious areas that really annoys me. But I think what's great about the work that you guys are doing is just in being able to show what having that access can do. And I think for me, in looking at what that digital divide actually entails, is it's definitely about access, but it's also about what you do with that access. And I think what you guys have shown really, really well is what value can be delivered once you have that access, and in leveraging the tools that are available. I mean, WordPress is a great one, and, you know, a range of other tools that can be used to give services to young people, to provide young people with a voice and allow them to participate more broadly, both in politics, but also I think across the economy and even socially. So I think it's really great the way that you've been able to leverage that access to achieve something really positive and productive.
No, thank you very much. This year, we've been more focused on trying to get more people connected. And I think one of our pet projects this year is building rural kiosks. So we've gotten a couple of Raspberry Pis, and we're building kiosks where we, instead of people having to go on the internet. We can just load up our content and deploy a network in a rural community, and they can download videos and audios for free without actually having to go onto the internet. And I think for us, we're very passionate about more young people having information at the tip of their hands so that they can make informed decisions for themselves about their communities. And I think that's where we're going, and that's where we're focused on going forward.
Those initiatives sounds great, and we'll certainly connect more on that and looking at how we can extend digital services into communities. I think that there's definitely a lot of opportunity around leveraging technology for broader value. But I think, I just wanted to find out, how can people contribute to the work that you're doing with the network and Open Poly Zimbabwe?
They can reach out to us at Magamba Network, or reach out to me to munya@magambanetwork.com, or reach out to me on Twitter, or reach out via the Magamba Network social media handles. We're very open to partnerships and to collaborate. We also have a creative hub in Zim, so we're very open to people coming through, collaborating, and building new synergies and where we can add value, more than willing to jump in. And like I said, in all the areas that we're operating now, it's through building consensus and partnerships with local organizations that are operating in those areas. And our platforms, like the Open Poly platform, we're trying to make it more open and free, so that anyone who wants to take that up, take the initiative up in their country, can just reach out, take the model, and deploy it wherever they feel it may be useful. So
that's excellent. Yeah. I think for me, it does highlight the real important opportunities that that we need more of, and that is the function of collaboration, especially within the area of youth development. Some of the challenges that we face are so vast that we certainly can't solve any of the problems without some really intensive collaboration and sharing of resources and knowledge and experience. So that's fantastic that you guys have got such strong focus on partnership and collaboration.
You're going to be one of the speakers at the Civic Tech Innovation Forum, right? And I'm just going to ask a question. The theme is DIY Africa, right? The space that you are in right now, the space of youth empowerment, et cetera. What does DIY Africa mean to you?
I love that theme. And I think for me, it says just start where you are with what you have. You do not need a lot of things. If you have a cell phone and access to the internet, you can start an initiative, or you can start working. Like I said, Open Poly started off as a Twitter handle, and our first website was a free WordPress website. And then we only paid like $10 for the domain. And then that was it. And then that was it. Literally, we were launched, and then everything else came later. Mm-hmm. You can do it yourself. You can start from where you are and go.
Awesome. I mean, that's such a great example for me, just in the value that some of the evolving technology platforms can provide. And there is a lot of focus on producing coders and data scientists, but the progression of low and no code platforms represents just such a fantastic opportunity for that function of DIY. So you don't need a high level of technical skill. It's not expensive, but you can really start to build out solutions and leverage what is that, that deep understanding of what the problem is, to find solutions and to assemble solutions. And I mean, that's the really exciting thing about the initiative, the DIY Africa initiative, is there's so much technology that can be used, low cost, accessible, to solve some problems really, really quickly. So I think the work that you guys have done and using tools that are available and accessible, and then certainly evolving into more sophisticated tools, but there's so many tools that are accessible and affordable that we can start to use immediately to solve problems.
It's so easy though for us to say, just do it yourself. I know that there are some young innovators who are still starting out in the innovation journey right now and could be facing some challenges in doing it themselves, Munya. As somebody who is an innovator himself and might have had some challenges along the way, What words of wisdom do you have for people who are, yes, doing it themselves, but are facing challenges right now?
Well, I mean, nothing says challenges better than trying to do something in Zimbabwe. You can do it. And if you get stuck, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to make yourself vulnerable, to reach out, to ask questions, and to look stupid. There's no such thing as a stupid question, because once you set it out and someone else imparts their
level of knowledge to you, then you're better off than where you were. So never be afraid to ask questions and always be inquisitive. And I think small incremental changes are better. You know, a year from now, 2 years from now, you will be amazed at where you are by just making small adjustments to your project or to your invention. And don't be afraid to fail. You know, fail fast, fail forward, and you learn from the mistakes that you make. And most importantly, don't be afraid to make the mistakes, because I think we only learn from them.
So you're going to be speaking at the Unpacking DIY-Enabled Methods and Approaches in African Civic Tech session, right, on the 15th of September at 3 o'clock Central African Time. You'll be joined by other speakers, Abigail Selman, Omar Bakari, Alexander Tekola, J.D. Bothma, Nelson Olanipekun, who are going to be speaking on this topic as well. But thank you so much for making time for us, Munya.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you, guys. I'm looking forward to speaking at DIY Africa on the 15th of September and to be joined by all these cool, dope innovators from across the continent. I am so excited. I'm going to be front row and center myself.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I can keep pushing those boundaries. The best thing to do is, you guys are doing really, really great work, and I think it's really important to keep doing it. So yeah, congratulations on all that you've achieved so far.
Okay. Thank you, Jason, for partnering with me as well today as a co-host in this episode.
Thanks, Nati. Yeah, always happy to add my 2 cents and ask those stupid questions. I'm pretty good at the stupid question part, but yeah, happy to contribute and hopefully we can start to drive more innovation and leveraging technology to make positive social change. So thanks a lot for having me. We look forward to some more discussions in the future.
All right. Please look at the episode description to see where you can find the Talking Tech for Good podcast with Jason Bygate and Luvuyo Maseko. Thank you, everyone, for being here. As you would have heard in our conversation with Munyaradzi earlier, the Civic Tech Innovation Network, in collaboration with GemLab, will be hosting the Civic Tech Innovation Forum and GemFest, respectively, this September. The conferences are happening from the 13th to the 17th of September, and it will all be happening on Wova. Wova is an event hosting application. Please go download it, and don't forget to join CTIN and GemLab for what promises to be an amazing conference. See the episode description for more details. Do follow us on all our social media platforms for more opportunities and resources for African innovators. Welcome back. Today's thought on innovation comes from co-founder and CEO of Nairobi Java House, Kevin Ashley. The journey is forever. Do not ever let yourself feel like you have arrived, because if you do, someone else will come and run past you. You always have to keep going, because you haven't reached the mountaintop yet. That's your innovation thought for today. Stay with us. We'll be back to say goodbye. That concludes this episode. Don't forget to subscribe and review the podcast. And please see the episode description for all places you can follow and engage with the Civic Tech Innovation Network. Until next time, goodbye.
This podcast was brought to you by Civic Tech Innovation Network in partnership with Voice of Vets.